Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here do not necessarily represent those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Dr. Joseph Chambers, of course, who's the senior minister at the Paul Creek Christian Church, certainly in North Carolina, and that's Charlotte, North Carolina. He holds two honorary doctorate degrees, a Doctor of Divinity and Doctor of Sacred Literature, and we're going to be talking about his latest book, The Masterpiece, God's Unfolding Revelation. And really, it's the analysis of the revelation of Jesus Christ, the last book of the Bible, and that tells the story of, really, of course, of salvation. It tells the story of Jesus Christ from the beginning to the end, as dictated by Christ to an angel who dictated it to the Gospel of to John, the disciple John, who recorded it for us and for our edification. Dr. Chambers, thank you so much for being with us today.
It is a delight, Dr. Stan, to be with you. I've been looking forward to it.
Well, I've been looking forward to having you as well, and certainly it's a fascinating summary, and I'm going to let you sort of talk already about how this whole story unfolds, because it begins at the chapter one and ends with the last chapter, and it offers hope for mankind in a world really where hope is, I think, in the days and years that lie ahead, is going to become a very, very precious thing. We have to have something to cling to, something to believe in, and this offers us the promise of salvation and redemption. So you pick up the story.
Well, the book of Revelation is a true and powerful picture of our end, our future. And, of course, there's a presence of an Antichrist, and there's a presence of some dark scenes. But all of those dark scenes are only there to give us a picture of how Satan and his kingdom ends. The main part of the story is the excitement of God's plan for his children. So the book of Revelation takes the whole Bible from Genesis to Jude, 65 books, and the book of Revelation puts those books in dramatic form. You got doctrines all through the 65 books, but the 66th book, you got a drama of those doctrines, so that every doctrine in the Bible is dramatized in the book of Revelation. And it's a triumphant book, and it ends in a city that is 1,500 miles wide, square, tall, 12 foundations. It's a breathtaking story. And I get amazed when people say to me, the book of Revelation is too hard. Well, why did God name it Revelation? That means unveiling. The manifesting of this great truth is really a breathtaking story. I enjoyed writing this book from beginning to end. I sat often and felt such a sweetness of the Master's presence, just as real as if I'd been standing in a pulpit. I really do love the book of Revelation.
Well, it's an amazing story. I think that it's hard that people have to analyze very carefully it, because once they begin to understand what is being talked about, of course, it takes on a whole different significance, wouldn't you say?
Oh, absolutely. Once you really get the outline and you begin to see the story, it's not a book of riddles. And many people have added all kinds of riddles into the book of Revelation, and that just confuses it. It's not riddles. Every truth in the book of Revelation is interpreted by some other part of the Bible. You got these four beasts, we call them, or the Bible calls them in Revelation 4. They're not beasts. That's only a term that's used back in the scriptures, but they're living creatures.
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment. We're going to bring some other stations on board here.
Okay.
Thank you. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this afternoon is Dr. Joseph Chambers. He's with the Paul Creek Ministries in Charlotte, North Carolina, and we're going to be talking about his book. It's entitled The Masterpiece. It's the story of the revelation of Jesus Christ, the last book of the Bible, which was dictated to John. He records this for our edification. And, of course, whole idea of the last book of the Bible is that it takes and explains everything in the previous 65 books, and then it gives us the final story of what is going to happen in the end times. And many people believe that we are witnessing the beginning of the time of sorrows, the beginning of the end times today. And Dr. Chambers has done a wonderful job of certainly putting this all together in this one book called The Masterpiece, God's Unfolding Revelation. So you pick up the story there, Dr. Chambers.
Well, the book of Revelation is so full of excitement. You know, when you read some of the dark tales of the tribulation and some of the action of these beasts and these antichrist and the false prophet, it sounds gloomy. And people will say, it's too gloomy for me. But if they ever get the picture of the hope that's in it, and the promise that God is trying to give us, a clear outline of the end time. You see, you've got all kinds of teachings in the Bible about the end times, from the Old Testament, the book of Psalms, Jeremiah, Daniel, Zechariah, Malachi. The New Testament, of course, you've got different books that deal with a great extent with the end times. But the book of Revelation is the one book that puts it all in chronological order. Peter may talk about this. Jesus talked about many aspects. Daniel talked about much of it. But the book of Revelation gives it a outline, gives it a beautiful pattern by which it will happen and occur. He just outlines it, just lays it out, chronological order. And that's what's beautiful about Revelation. It takes, you know, whatever you want to learn about the Antichrist, whatever you want to learn about the great city of New Jerusalem, it takes all these different things and shows us the order in which they will occur. And I think that's the most wonderful thing about Revelation. It puts the end in a chronological order that you cannot miss when each thing will happen, how it will happen, and then you see the order of where it's all headed.
And, of course, I thought the interesting thing was it begins talking about Jesus Christ and who he is. And, of course, it gives all of these adjectives describing who he was, certainly, and the part that he plays. What are the 41 of them, I think, that they...
41 in one chapter.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. It's certainly we're talking with Dr. Joseph Chambers of the Paul Creek Ministries there in Charlotte, North Carolina. And we're pointing out that the revelation, and of course this is the last book of the Bible, it's the revelation of Jesus Christ as dictated to John, and John simply records this. And it's really beautifully written. It starts out at the very beginning talking about Jesus Christ and who he really is. And there are actually, in the first chapter or so, there are 41 different adjectives and terms that are used to describe our Lord. You pick up the story there.
Well, when you see how Christ is the central figure, the Antichrist is never the central figure of the book of Revelation. And he's been often portrayed, and people think of reading the book of Revelation, I'm going to have to read all about the Antichrist. No, you will read a little about him, but the main story is the revelation of Jesus Christ. I love to get people into the second introduction in the book of Revelation, the masterpiece, I should say, my book on the book of Revelation. I love to get them in that second chapter where we have this order of Jesus Christ as revealed in the book of Revelation, that he's seen as the Lord of the church for three chapters. Then he's seen as the Lamb of God during the whole period of the 7-year tribulation. Then he's seen as the faithful and true witness when he returns to fight the battle of Armageddon. Then we see him as the King of Kings when he rules on the earth for 1,000 years. Then we see him as the bridegroom when he is, of course, in the city of New Jerusalem with his bride, the last two chapters of Revelation. So there are five different descriptions of the Lord in the book of Revelation that set the pattern. Now, there's 41 in the first chapter, but there's five key ones that set the order of the whole book of Revelation, from the Lord of the church to the Lamb of God in the tribulation period, to the great, faithful and true witness in the great battle of Armageddon, to the King of Kings in the millennial reign, and then to the bridegroom for eternity. And I think that just makes the book of Revelation come off the pages.
Well, of course, when people read Revelation, they find that there's going to be an awful lot of bad things that are going to happen. There's going to be a lot of death and a lot of violence and terrible things that are going to befall the world in these latter days.
Well, that's right. These things are going to happen. But see, when they realize all of this is the judgment of sin, it shows what a loser the devil is. It shows how the devil is on his last leg. He's getting ready for his, for what he thinks is his triumph, but it's his final effort to show what a vicious and liar really that he is. And so in the book of Revelation, we see all the dark things of Satan and how he's going to be judged and how he's going to be completely cast into the bottomless pit and then cast into the lake of fire. So that in itself makes the book of Revelation so wonderful. See, Jesus totally defeated the devil. I mean, he totally defeated the devil. The devil has no teeth in his jaws, and he has no claws in his fingers. All he's got is a big old roar. And people, of course, often run from his roar, but they will understand that what we see in Revelation is the picture of his final demise. We see how he's a loser, how he's lost the battle, how Jesus Christ has won the battle. And so the whole victory is that Christ is Lord. He is triumphant, and the devil has been defeated. And we see the end of that defeat in the book of Revelation.
Well, of course, you make the point of the unholy Trinity. Certainly the Christian recognizes the Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. But there is an unholy Trinity as well. Is there a mirror image from the dark side?
Well, you see, the devil never does anything that's not an imitation. Everything you can read about Satan, everything that Satan has ever done, was an imitation of something that's real, of something that's true. Satan is an imitator. He's a masquerader. He does his best to make people think he is God by imitating the things of God. You can read everything the devil is doing right now. For instance, the devil is planning a one-world order. Why is he planning a one-world order? He's trying to imitate and preempt the real one-world order that God is getting ready to establish in the millennial reign of 1,000 years. And you can go through all the activities of the occult, all the activities of wicked spirits, the Wiccan witches. You can go through all the voodoo of the voodoo world. And everything within those realms has an element of imitation to imitate the truth of God and of his realities. And so that's what you see again in the book of Revelation, Satan's imitation. He himself tries to present himself as God. Then he's got an antichrist that's nothing but an imitation of the true Christ. Then he's got a false anointing, false prophet, which is nothing but an imitation of the Holy Spirit. And when you take this whole imitation, I've been to different temples of the world, in Babylon, in Egypt. There's always three altars, always three holy of holies in every one of these wicked temples, because Satan has always tried to imitate the Trinity of God. One of the greatest proofs that God is indeed a Trinity is the imitations which Satan always produces in all of his efforts at religious activity of the true Trinity of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
And of course, the counterpart to that is Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet, the false religious leader who will lead the world. Would that be correct?
Exactly right. I call him a false anointing. Some years ago, I did a video. The spirit of the, I'm an old classical Pentecostal, so I felt like I had the privilege of looking at the charismatic movement and the direction it was going, and seeing some of the fallacies in it. I felt like I had the privilege of seeing it with a kind of a different perspective, being an old classical Pentecostal, Bible believing, you know, King James, you know, preaching Christ, and so when you see this imitation that the world is just so full of, it's a false anointing. The things that people call an anointing is just such a shabby thing, and it's a false anointing getting ready for that false prophet.
And of course, what people don't really understand is there really is a move today to bring about a world government. It certainly has been talked about for literally hundreds of years, but there has never been a time when this could actually come to pass as it can be today. In fact, the entire thrust of American foreign policy, our policies of globalization, of transferring our wealth and manufacturing to other countries, is to bring up the level of government in other societies so that eventually we can all be merged into this new world order that our leaders talk about and Henry Kissinger writes about in his article in the January 12th of this year in the International Herald Tribune. And the title of the article is A Chance for a New World Order. Well, certainly if people read that today and they scratch their heads, but if they understood the scriptures, if they understood the revelation and the fact that this has been planned for thousands of years, that what we're seeing today is the fulfillment of ancient prophecies, the ancient secret societies, and certainly Satan's plan to bring about a world government through his minions. And it really is coming to pass, isn't it?
It absolutely is. I'm overwhelmed. As you know, I just did a novel on Nebuchadnezzar, the head of gold. My next novel will be on the Medes and the Persians, and then Alexander the Great, then the Romans, and then the two legs of the divided Roman Empire, and then the ten toes. And, of course, the number seven is the millennial reign of our Lord Jesus Christ. If Christ tarries long enough for me to get these next six books written, I hope he doesn't. But if he does, I believe I will finish them. And you see all of this, and always, from Nebuchadnezzar, then to Cyrus and Darius, and then to Alexander the Great, who died in Babylon. Always, Babylon has been kind of a focus point of these one world orders. It's amazing to read that Hitler had intended eventually to migrate to Babylon and make that his headquarters. It's just been the... in fact, Babylon is the antithesis of Jerusalem. Babylon to the devil is what Jerusalem is to Jehovah God. And, of course, it's got to be judged there. And that's why we just have been in this war in Iraq, is to create some kind of uneasy democracy so that the old Antichrist can rebuild the city of Babylon and set that up as his empire, his headquarters. And I believe it will be during the 7 years. So.
I was fascinated in one place in your book. You talked about this magnificent palace that Saddam Hussein had built overlooking the original city of Babylon, which he, of course, was rebuilding and had done quite a bit along the way of reconstituting this ancient city of Babylon. And you felt that the Antichrist would actually use that palace in the times that lie ahead.
Well, it's a beautiful palace. It sets up on a knoll. I've got pictures of it, of course. Some of our soldier boys even took some close-ups by flying over. And I actually stood down in the Babylon area and took a picture of it from the ground right there in the Babylon area. So the whole truth of the Bible is coming to a head so beautifully. It's almost unbelievable. For instance, the war of Gog and Magog. Babylon doesn't fit into that war, because Babylon's going to be getting ready to rule during those 7 years. And I believe the war of Gog and Magog will probably occur either before the rapture or right after. So Babylon had to be removed out of that. Well, Saddam Hussein had to be eliminated for that to occur. What has happened in our nation since 1948, when Israel became a nation, or the world, I should say, when Israel became a nation, it is the most breathtaking picture, step by step, of a complete preparation for a one-world order, and, of course, Christ to come back and set up his kingdom on this earth.
And, of course, we always argue about Israel, you know, who's right, the Israelis or the Palestinians. And what we miss is the fact that God had prophesied, you know, 1,000 of years ago that the Jews would be turned to the to the Holy Land. No other country has ever been reconstituted, but Israel has.
They really have not. And another great truth that the whole things in Babylon has created is the rise of the Assyrians. See, I believe the Antichrist will be an Assyrian. I've written articles on that for 30 years now. And many people disagree with that. But I believe the Antichrist will be an Assyrian. Well, the Assyrians live. Their ancient headquarters was in northern Iraq. There's still thousands of them spread over the Middle East, some of them even in America, and they are uniting right now. Well, the Bible says that during the thousand-year millennial reign, there will only be three nations in the Middle East, and that will be Egypt, Israel, and the Assyrians. So that all of these things are coming together. The Antichrist, he probably is alive. We wouldn't know who he is because he will not be revealed until the rapture. But the Antichrist will be revealed at some time. I think he will be an Assyrian. And when you realize they are right now constituting a kind of self-government, they don't have any geography, but they have a uniting of the people of the Assyrians. So everything is just getting ready for the end, and the book of Revelation just lays it out for us step by step by step. And that's why every Christian ought to have the book of Revelation at one of the center focuses of their Bible study, and they ought to dig in and understand that book, because it's a blessing and it gives us hope in this time of trial, and who knows what's going to happen next. America is getting its first taste, a real taste of the one world order coming to the shores of our nation, and we ought to both be trembling and excited, because God is in control.
Well, of course, if you know the Lord, why, you're not going to be frightened. But
that's
if you
right.
don't know the Lord, I mean, I would hate to be knowing and viewing what's going on today, knowing what's happening and viewing what's going on today, and not have the hope of salvation. Why, life itself would be totally hopeless.
You know, Brother Dr. Stan, it's sad that the world has more concept of Antichrist, of 666, of Babylon. The Rolling Stones did a special album a few years ago, and they called it Back to Babylon. I'm doing right now, I've done two interviews with History Channel, getting ready for a series that they're doing on the book of Revelation, the Antichrist, the rapture, what's going to happen after the rapture, can people be saved? It's almost unbelievable the questions they've asked me that I've answered on video in preparation for this series that starts in September, by the way. It's going to be either 10 programs or 12 programs. And they see, and they have said to me, they actually see all of this coming to pass. And they feel like people have got to know what's in the book of Revelation, the History Channel. Now, why isn't the church doing things like that?
Well, I'm just glad that they selected somebody who really believes in the gospel, who believes in Jesus Christ, and who studied this. And so you can present this, because, of course, you present it in a very coherent form, all very well organized, step by step, as you go through the various parts of this final book of the Bible, because it really, as you point out, is very well organized. And, in fact, certainly there's a major junction there when you get to the fourth chapter, and then, of course, your belief that the Christians will be raptured at that time, and then, of course, all hell breaks loose on the earth.
Dr. Stanley, it's beautiful when you read the fourth chapter of Revelation. It starts off with John being called.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here.
Okay.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course our guest is Pastor Joseph Chambers, and Dr. Joseph Chambers. He was just saying that the History Channel is going to be doing a series on the Book of Revelation on the latter days, and they've asked him, of course, to give them a great deal of information, and they've spent a lot of time with him. The programs are going to start sometime in September, and the people who are putting together the program for the History Channel have said that they see what's happening in the world today, and they see the prophetic significance of everything coming on, and they're going to present the revelation, the last book of the Bible, and its prophetic significance as far as what's happening. Now, I hope that they are objective. Sometimes they really do an excellent job. Sometimes they slant things. But, of course, all we can do is try to get the truth out, and they couldn't have actually picked any better spokesman for the final book of the Bible than Dr. Chambers, who's really done a magnificent study of this in his book, The Masterpiece. Now, certainly we were talking about the fourth chapter of the Revelation, because the fourth chapter explains what is going to happen, and then, of course, I'll let Pastor Chambers tell you, Dr. Chambers, tell you about the fourth chapter, because this is one of the watershed events, of course, of the entire book itself. And after that, of course, you begin getting in the fifth and sixth chapters of the Revelation, why you begin to see the terrible things that really do lie ahead for the world. You pick the story up there.
Well, you know, the book of Revelation, chapter 4, is such a perfect picture of the rapture, because you have John caught up to heaven. You hear the voice of a trumpet, which is the voice of Jesus Christ. Then he sees the saints of God on 24 thrones. These are lesser thrones, and they're situated around the throne of God. And 24 thrones of saints. Now, these are saints because they have crowns on their head. They have on white garments of righteousness. They have been rewarded. They're not earthly people who have not yet been glorified. These are glorified saints because they're sitting on thrones in the presence of the Lord God himself. And they have their crowns on their head, and they've been rewarded, and they're there to participate now in the great event of this 7-year tribulation period. And so you see the saints in heaven around the throne of God. Then you see them in chapter 5 as they begin to celebrate, and they actually sing the song of redemption, singing that the Lord has redeemed them. So we know these are the saints of God glorified. They're with God. They're around the throne of God. They've got their white robes on. They've got crowns on their head. And so the rapture has to have occurred. There's no other way to see it. Well, if the rapture has occurred, and then you've got in chapter 6, the seals are opened. Number 1, verse 1 of chapter 6 starts with the seals of the book of Revelation. I should say the book that the Father had in his hand that Jesus took from him, which is the redemption of the earth. You see the seals being opened, and the tribulation period begins. So you can't have the rapture in the middle of the tribulation, when in Revelation you've got them in heaven at the beginning of the tribulation. And I think that's so beautiful, because it takes the argument out of the whole truth. It takes the argument out. I'm so pre-trib. When you begin to study the book of Revelation, many people say have read Daniel, they've read Matthew 24, they've read all these books of the Bible, isolated kind of, and never put them all in harmony with the book of Revelation. And that's why they get the theology all screwed up and messed up. And when you see it in order, like the book of Revelation presents it, there's no place to be confused.
All right, fine. And then, of course, as they begin to open the various seals there, and of course, we see the rider of the first horse, the rider of the second horse, the four horsemen of the apocalypse simply appear on the scene with devastating impact on the world.
You know, I think people need to understand, as soon as that rapture occurs, it's going to be trouble on this earth. It's going to be a chilling time. I recently did a little video and a booklet on the chilling sounds after the rapture. And we're talking about a world that's going to be in consternation. It gets worse now. The last half is even worse than the first half. The first half, you've got a lot of people being saved. I mean, there will be millions of people saved. Because in chapter 7, you see the tribulation saints caught up to heaven. And the Bible says they come up out of great tribulation. There's not but one period that is ever called the Great Tribulation in the Bible, but what Jesus called these 7 years at the end of the Great Judgment, or the time of the Great Judgment after the rapture. And so it's a breathtaking picture, but it's all, see, the judgments are not something to be ugly. They're actually cleansing. You purify things with judgment. You purify things by applying righteous judgment, proper judgment, pure judgment. And that's what Jesus does.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. Our guest is Dr. Joseph Chambers. We're talking about his book, The Masterpiece. We're talking about, certainly, the fourth chapter of the book of Revelation, which talks about, of course, the saints appearing in heaven. And then, of course, when we get into the fifth and the sixth chapter, we see the opening of the scrolls, the seals, as it were, and as they break the seals, and each one, of course, we get to the four horsemen of the apocalypse, their release upon the world, and then with that, a quarter of the population of the world is simply eliminated, and then you pick up the story there.
You know, the chapter 4, 5, and 6, of course, are three of the key chapters. And something that I wanted to say that really is exciting, I think you'll love, just like Jesus has five titles in the book of Revelation, the saints have five titles in the book of Revelation. In chapters 1, 2, and 3, they're called the church. But in chapters 4, where we have them caught up to the throne of God, they're called elders. And they're never called the church again throughout the entire book of Revelation. So you see these elders in those, on those 24 thrones, lesser thrones, of course. The majestic throne is God himself. And of course he's seen from the earth at this time because the Bible said that the heavens are going to flee away, which means that second heaven is going to kind of disappear, and the heavens of the Father is going to be brought into view of the earth itself. And you'll have the wicked people looking up during chapter 6 of Revelation, and they see God on his throne, and they begin to cry out for the mountains to fall on them. And see, so you're seeing these elders now participating. Actually, we saints are going to reign with Christ in heaven during the 7 years of the tribulation period. And we're going to be involved with him in these great judgment events. You find several times in Revelation.
Hold that thought. We're going to bring our other stations right back on board right now here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly Dr. Chambers is describing what's going to happen in Revelation 4 and 5 and 6, and these terrible events are unfolding on the world. But, of course, the saints are with God and watching these things happen. You pick the story up there.
Well, they're called elders now, all during these 7 years, because we're going to reign with him. We're going to rule with him. If saints would read the book of Revelation with the understanding, hey, here's a picture of what I'm going to be doing during those 7 years on this earth when the judgments of God are in the earth, if I be faithful to God and I'm part of that raptured company, I'm going to be up there and I'm going to be reigning with him. I'm going to be an elder with him, and I'm going to be part of the great event from the heavenly scene while this terror is taking place on the earth. The saints of God aren't going to be here. Oh, there's going to be a lot of people who become saints because they're going to repent. But during that time when they repent, they've got to be willing to die, because the most welcome thing there will be during 7 years of tribulation will be death. It's going to be hell on earth. And so you got these elders who are going to be reigning with Christ, and you move on further, and I'm ahead of it, I know. But when Jesus becomes the faithful and true witness to fight the battle of Armageddon, we're going to be his army, the Bible says. We're going to come with him to clean up this earth and to set up the thousand-year millennial reign kingdom. But once we set it up, then we're going to be kings and priests, and we're going to reign with him. And then we move beyond the thousand years. We're going to be his bride in that city of New Jerusalem for eternity. So we got five titles in the book of Revelation, and they never mix. They never blur their position any time. They're very clear titles, and we show that in this book of Revelation so that anybody who doesn't understand the book of Revelation, the book, the masterpiece, will make it come alive for them. And I'm not just trying to sell books. I just want to help people. And like the History Channel has got all 24 of my DVDs on the entire book of Revelation, verse by verse, that I did over a three-year period. I mean, just tremendous amount of work. They've got them, and they're considering airing on the History Channel these 24 DVDs in, taking the book of Revelation from verse 1 to the last verse of chapter 22. If they do that, that's going to touch millions of people, and I'm praying that they will, and I hope everybody that hears me prays that they will, because, Stan, we got to touch this world for Christ, and, of course, I need to get back to chapter 6 where that Antichrist begins to reign.
Okay, fine, but before we do that, I want you to get your web page out there, and I wanted you to tell people how they can get copies of your book, The Masterpiece.
Well, our web page is, of course, www.paulcreek, that's P-A-W. A lot of times people write Paul, P-A-U-A-L, but it's P-A-W-C-R-E-E-K.org, not .com now, but .org, paulcreek.org. That's really all you have to put is paulcreek.org. And you'll find a website full of sermons and full of radio programs we've done over years. You'll find many salty saints and prophetic news alerts and our prophecy articles from our, we've got about 600 articles there. And just a lot of good things. And they can order this book, The Masterpiece, right from the front page. There's a place to click, and it'll take you right to our bookstore. And they can get it in conjunction with Nebuchadnezzar, which is a novel on the old ancient character Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel, of course, the great story of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Those two books will be an exciting read for anybody. You probably haven't had time to read both of them. But I really think that they have a potential of helping make people understand this Bible is a real book.
And I think people really need to read the masterpiece, because it goes into what is in the Revelation, because we're seeing many of these things, at least foreshadowing many of these things actually taking place today, of great plagues which will come across the earth and great wars. And certainly people don't understand that we have given, according to Joel Rosenberg, just reading today his remarks, that the American State Department has given Iran until September to actually change their nuclear production policies, or there's the veiled threat of there's going to have to be action taken against Iran. Certainly this could begin to trigger a major war in the Middle East. In fact, as you were commenting,
it could happen this year. If people would read all of this, Brother Stan, and really begin to understand what we're talking about, they'd want to get really right with God. Make sure they're born again, and not just a religious person. We got so many religious people who go to church, but they've never been born again. They don't know the saving blood of Jesus Christ that makes a new creature out of you and gives you a heart for God above everything else in the world. And if people could get that heart for God, then all that's happening won't scare your socks off. I mean, it'll excite you. Man, I get to thinking about what's about to happen. And we're going to be caught up to heavenly Jerusalem and see God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Ghost and all the angels and the great apostles and the great prophets. And we got a future, a star-studded future ahead of us. It'd be great to leave here today and take that trip up through the steep of the sky and to see all that heaven has for us for today.
Well, of course, you refer, of course, to the fact that Jesus is referred to over and over again as the Lamb or the Lamb of God. And, of course, the Lamb was the sacrificial animal that was used by the Jews to try to, of course, obtain forgiveness from God for their sins. And so, for Jesus to be the Lamb of God, as referred to repeatedly in the book, he then would be the sacrifice for the sins of mankind. And it already holds together. I mean, it's really very, very compact. It's very clear exactly what they're talking about. And most people really don't believe or don't want to believe something could be this simple and yet offer so much hope in a time where there really is very little to be hopeful about.
But Stan, I think it's amazing that during the entire 7 years, from chapter 4, 5, all the way to chapter 19, Jesus Christ is seen every time, over and over and over, throughout the 7 years, as the Lamb of God. Now, you just said it beautifully. The reason he is seen as the Lamb of God is because the very means of cleansing this earth and of judging Antichrist, of judging the false prophet, of judging the devil, of judging those that take the mark of the beast, and those that blaspheme God, the very power and virtue of that judgment is that Jesus was crucified and died to redeem this earth. His blood doesn't just save a sinner. His blood is going to redeem this earth from every judgment of Satan, from every dark thing the devil has ever done and will do during this seven-year period. The blood of Jesus is the cleansing agent, the redeeming sacrifice, the reconciling power of all this redemption, of all this judgment, of all this cleansing. It is the power of the blood that's doing every bit of it. And that's why he's seen as the Lamb during the entire seven-year period of the Great Tribulation. But then immediately, chapter 19, he's seen as this mighty warrior. I mean, this mighty warrior. And it's a glorious picture when suddenly he mounts that white stallion and descends out of the sky and comes down to this earth with his saints to judge the Antichrist and that great army that's gathered in Megiddo. Oh, what a triumphant picture. The sword goes forth out of his mouth. What does that mean? That means his words. You don't need a sword in his hand, because his word is the sword that brings the devil to his finality.
And, of course, you anticipate that the war of Gog and Magog, the war described in Ezekiel 38 and 39, is different than the Battle of Armageddon?
Yes, sir. I believe that very much. I believe the war of Gog and Magog must occur either before the rapture or right after the rapture. Because, see, the temple in Jerusalem, the tribulation temple has got to be built. Well, that whole temple mount is such a controversial place. It would start World War III if the Jews would try to go up there and build that temple right now. But that Ark of the Covenant is somewhere. I believe that Ark of the Covenant is way down underneath the Temple Mount where the priest took it in 586 when Nebuchadnezzar and his army had marched on Jerusalem. And see, all this is in my book, Nebuchadnezzar, the Head of Gold. And I believe that Ark is down under the temple. Randall Price has written some fabulous books about that. And he believes, as I do, that, in fact, the priests, the rabbis, I should say, said they almost found it in 80-something after they'd taken back the temple area. Then they, of course, gave back the Temple Mount to the Arabs, but they still had control underneath it. And they were digging to find that Ark of the Covenant, and they say they were almost in reach of it when the authorities found out what they were doing and came in and stopped them and sealed it all up and fixed it where nobody could discover where it was again. But God knows where it is. And I believe when that war of Gog and Magog occurs, I believe those thunderbolts that's going to eliminate the capital of and the governments of probably 25 to 30 nations all around Israel, they're going to be eliminated when that great judgment of God hits them. When the Russians and the Iranians and all those many haters of Israel march, God's going to come to their defense. And I believe a thunderbolt will strike that Temple Mount and clean that plane up, and the fissures in the ground beneath will open the way right down where that Ark of the Covenant is, and it'll be brought up to erect it during the 7 years as the Jews begin again their temple worship, so of course still not believing that Jesus is the true Messiah.
Well, I really think that they know exactly where it is. It's going to be fascinating as this whole thing unfolds in the very, very near future.
Yeah, well, you know, we've got so much to look for, Brother Stan. We're the most privileged people. We have more prophecy occurring in our lifetime that occurred during the lifetime of Christ. You know, we, we're living in the greatest period of discovery of history. And we ought to be the most thrilled saints of God, the people that belong to Christ, that live in their Bible, that pray for the peace of Jerusalem, that believe in the rapture, that are looking forward to the coming of Christ, the rapture of the saints, people who are into the mid-trib and post-trib. I mean, I feel sorry for them because they're looking for Antichrist. I'm looking for Jesus Christ.
Well, I really think that certainly as we look and see the unfolding of world events, we see God's hand in all of this. All of this has been prophesied thousands of years ago. And if you study the prophecies, you can see how they're all coming to pass really at the very time that we're living in. So I think it's really almost prophetic that the History Channel would be considering running a series. What is it going to be, 10 or 12 programs?
10 or 12 in this first series. If they take my challenge to do the Book of Revelation and they say they're strongly considering it, that's going to be 24 more weeks with just the whole Book of Revelation from chapter 1, verse 1, all the way to chapter 22. And I'm begging them to let's go to the Isle of Patmos to do the first one. So the people will actually see the first presentation from the very place where John got the revelation. You know, I think it would be one of the most attention drawing. It would put the History Channel on the map, brother. The world would take note of them folks if they would present this Book of Revelation from verse one to chapter 22. And I'm praying they will. If it's pleasing to God, they will. I mean, God's got the whole thing planned out. He already knows what's going to happen. I hope that's what he planned.
Well, I know one of the great experiences of my life was going to Patmos and standing in the cave where they claim that John actually wrote the Revelation. And certainly, a wonderful, powerful feeling as you stand there and realize that almost 2,000 years ago, this book was penned there on the island of Patmos.
Brother Stan, I think one of the most wonderful things about Revelation is that it's a drama of the Bible. I did a prophecy conference recently down in South Carolina, and when I finished teaching that night, I taught on the drama of Revelation. I said, I want to have a question and answer session. I've never done this but one time, and I hope to do it more in the future. This was just recently. I said, tonight, since I've taught you on the drama of Revelation, I want to give you a chance to ask questions, and I want to do it like this. You name any doctrine in the Bible, any doctrine in the Bible. It doesn't matter to me what the doctrine is. If it's a biblical doctrine, you name it, and I will show you the drama of it in the Book of Revelation. And I got some wonderful questions. I've never done it before. I didn't know how it was going to turn out. But I know that I've studied the Book of Revelation until I've got it written on my heart and in my head. And so they began to ask these questions. Well, one of the first questions was a dear preacher man, a friend of mine, who's really a sharp man theologically. And he says, Brother Chambers, could I ask you to give me where in the Book of Revelation do you see a proof or the doctrine of the immutability of God? That God is immutable, which means he doesn't change. That God is exactly, precisely, unfailingly the same. I said, well, yes, that's a wonderful question. Go to Revelation chapter 22. And go to those two verses, and of course I gave them the verse, and we opened the Bible. And I said, here God says, if you take away one word, or if you add one word to this Bible, the Holy Bible, he was talking of the whole Bible, not just Revelation. If you add one word, or if you take away one word, it will add to your judgment, or it will take away your part in the heavenly city. I said, if that's not the most powerful picture of God's immutability, I cannot think of one. Would you agree with that?
I certainly would. Well, I think the
Book of Revelation has the whole Bible right in it, dramatized, never taught. God makes no effort to teach doctrines in the Book of Revelation. He dramatizes doctrine. Go to chapter 1, and you've got this beautiful picture. Man, I love to read this and just think about how breathtaking it is that God can present a book so beautiful. You go to chapter 1, verse 4, John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ. Now he starts off from God, then he says from the seven spirits, and then he says and from Jesus Christ. So here you have from God the Father, from the Holy Spirit, and from Jesus Christ, he sends the book of Revelation. What a picture of the Trinity. I mean, dramatized. And so that's how the whole book of Revelation is. And of course, this is what we do in the masterpiece, is constantly show people, here is the whole Bible. The four beasts in Revelation 4, I started a while ago and somehow I got deterred. What are those four beasts? They're four living creatures. Go back to Ezekiel chapter 1, and you see those four living creatures. They're cherubims.
Before we go on, I want you once more to get your webpage out so people would know how to go and get your book, The
Masterpiece. Okay, www.paw. That's Paul, like a cat Paul. PAWCREEK.org. www.paulcreek.org. Right on the front page is where they can order this book. And by the way, if they don't have a web, they can call a toll-free number anywhere in America, Canada, and it's 1-800.
Hold that thought. We'll get back in just a moment. Okay. Why don't you go ahead and get that number out?
1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338-7884. That's actually 1-800-33-TRUTH.
33-what?
TRUTH.
Truth, okay, fine.
I'm sorry about that.
No, that's all right. You know, I think
I'm an old man, Brother Stan.
I think the important thing is that you've got to have something people can remember when they hear it.
That's why I give it that away. 1-800-33-TRUTH.
Well, I think that's a great one. Anyway, we've got about 2 minutes for you to wrap up your thoughts on this really magnificent book about this wonderful story that offers hope in a time of hopelessness.
Well, you know, the book of Revelation will give anybody hope. It will fill them if they'll study it. And if they're having trouble understanding it, that's why it's important to get this book, The Masterpiece. Because with the help of God, I prayed so earnestly. I tried to make it layman theology, layman understanding, to bring it down where anybody that knows how to read can understand the book of Revelation. And it's not riddles. I take the riddles out of it and make them simple and just show people how the Bible interprets itself. When you just take it simple, it's infallible, it's perfect, it's immutable, it doesn't change. The Word of God is forever settled in heaven. The book of Revelation is a magnificent picture of God's close to humankind.
And of course, I think the beauty of the book is it's so well organized, and it explains to you exactly what's happening as the various chapters of the book unfold from the very beginning, where you begin with Jesus Christ, and of course, where you end with his triumphant return to the earth.
Well, you know, the reason I call this the masterpiece, the book, I named it the masterpiece because for years I have called the book of Revelation the masterpiece. I've debated with people all over America on talk shows, different things I've done, and I've always said to them, the greatest piece of literature, the literary genius, is the book of Revelation. It is a genius book. It is a literary perfection. It is magnificent in its style and its beauty, and all the way it's written, it's really a breathtaking book.
It is. Well, I want to thank you very much for being with us. God bless you. I really appreciate you taking the time to be with us. And I'm really looking forward to that History Channel presentation.
I'm excited. God bless you, Dr. Montes. I love you, brother. Praying for you. And I love your book, The Brotherhood of Darkness.
Thank you so very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, fine. Well, look, it was Pastor Dr. Joseph Chambers of the Paul Creek a Christian Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. We'll be back here in just a moment to wrap up today's program. Well, this is Dr. Stan. If you'd like to get a copy of the book, and I recommend it if you're interested in the Revelation, it's well written, it's well organized, and it's an important part of an understanding of the end times prophecies. And you can get the book, The Masterpiece, by calling 1-800-338-7884 or 1-800-33-TRUTH. 1-800-33-TRUTH. That's a much more convenient means of remembering the telephone number, 1-800-33-TRUTH, 33-TRUTH, and the book is well worth writing while reading. The revelation is difficult many times for people to understand, but when it's laid out and organized, as Dr. Chambers has done it, why you'll be able to understand, Sydney, this magnificent story that offers hope in times like these as we see the unfolding of God's story and God's plan. Certainly, this is also done in a 10-DVD set we offer entitled The Final Countdown by Pastor Billy Crone. If you haven't seen it, you need to see it because, of course, he brings in all the prophecies from the ancient past about what would happen as we move towards the culmination of history, the final countdown, as it were, and beginning first with the reconstitution of the state of Israel, the fact that Israel would be refounded, that they would speak Hebrew, and that they would use the shekel as their coinage, and that certainly I don't want, of course, to detract from what Pastor Crone says. You need to see his DVDs. We do have this available, at least the first five of his talks on CDs. That's called the Countdown to Armageddon, but we recommend the DVDs. He's got a lot of video clips that goes with it, and he gives you all the scriptures. It's worthwhile watching several times to get a grasp of what's going on. And then, of course, so that's The Final Countdown by Pastor Billy Crone. We also carry his 10-DVD set on creation. People try to tell you that everything just evolved, you know. We evolved from a lower form of life, and there's just no way that could be. Everything is too perfect. Everything is organized. There's a perfect organization in astronomy, in chemistry, in physics, in music, in mathematics, in the human body, in the life of animals, and the development of a tree. And everything is in perfect order. And, of course, it did not happen by accident. There had to be a creator, and if there's a creator, then evolution is a lie, which, of course, it is. Everything is part of this conspiracy against God to take us away from an understanding that God did make the heavens and the earth, and, of course, from an understanding that there is a plan for mankind, there's a plan for the world, and it is being worked out at this time, and everything is going on from the plan that they are intentionally and purposely destroying our economy. How are they doing it? Why, they just stopped lending. And, of course, you can't have great difficulty borrowing money from a bank for a business of any sort, whether it's a major business or a small business or a farm or whatever it would be. They've simply shut off the availability of credit, knowing by doing that they could strangle our economy, force people out of work, and then, of course, they'd lose their homes, and you'd begin this cascade of the collapse of the economy that you're seeing not only in America, but all throughout the world. That is the story I tell in my DVD, the Financial Armageddon, and you want to get the syllabus that goes with that, and we go into the background of who Barack Obama really is. I mean, you think you know who Barack Obama is? Well, you need to understand who really put him in power and the spiritual force behind Barack Obama. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927 or 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. 1-800-5-HIV, like the virus, WAR. We're entering into very difficult times. Certainly you'll want to get our information on planned population reduction, on Nundare College genocide or population control. If you get any of the items from us, just ask for a copy of the Population Control Agenda monograph. It goes into the fact that there is a plan to kill off most of the people in the world. Not imaginary, it's very real. They talk about it openly. Well, please pray for America, but pray for Radio Liberty.